Du lytter til Radio 24/7.
Velkommen til Aflyttet med Anders Kjærulf.
Velkommen til et program i ført skæg og blå briller, i hvert fald indeni, hvor vi i dag skal tale om mennesker og maskiner. I en verden af kunstig intelligens og robotter, så er det et populært standpunkt, at vi mennesker i virkeligheden er som computere, at vi kan forbedres og bygges om, og at verden dermed kan gøres rationel og retfærdig, bare vi får maskiner nok, og de er gode nok. Det kaldes for transhumanisme, altså det, der følger efter mennesket, det vi forventes at udvikle os hen imod. En fusion af menneske og maskine, et helt igennem logisk individ, der så bagefter bliver hjulpet og styret af det, man kalder singulariteten, altså en form for samlet intelligens af alle computere i hele verden, som pludselig er blevet klogere end alle os. Men er det nu så simpelt? Sarah Spiegelman, professor i Business Informatics ved Privacy and Sustainable Computing Lab ved Wiens Tekniske Universitet, hun er en af forfatterne bag det antitranshumanistiske manifest. Det manifest, det handler om at gøre op med ideen om, at mennesker bare er ting, der processerer information, ligesom computere, at vi kan forbedre sig og erstattes af kunstig intelligens, der vil blive lige så klog som den menneskelige. Jeg mødte Sarah Spiegelman tidligere i år. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærulf. Velkommen til.
Hvor er alle mennesker henne? Der er ingen konduktør. Heller ingen vognstyrer. Nå, det må de selv om.
Yeah, my name is Sarah Spiegelman, and I'm a professor for business informatics in Vienna at the Vienna University of Economics and Business. And my institute that I chair there is called the Institute for Information Systems and Society. And I have been working in privacy and digital rights about since the year 2000. So that's quite a while already.
And then you were involved in what is called the Anti-Transhumanist Manifesto. Could you tell me a bit about what are you trying to get at here? What is transhumanism for people who don't know what we're talking about here?
I think transhumanism is a very peculiar idea of mankind that regards us humans as information objects that operate similar to a computer system, or can be understood primarily through the mind, that the mind or the head even physically is what is most important for human beings. And transhumanism also, I think, claims that human nature as it is right now is suboptimal in comparison to computer systems. And I believe that transhumanisms have, because they regard humans as information objects similar to machines, so they have a very mechanistic idea of man, they believe that machines can replace humans. Or, and I think the transhumanists are split on that question, some believe that there is a next generation machine that will watch over us stupid little animal humans. And the others think that humans may be enhanced or upgraded through machines or modern technologies of various kind to live up to a new generation of mankind, to become a new generation. But no matter what the vision is for mankind, it is always starting at the idea that humans as they are not beautiful and creative and good as they are. And this is something that I deeply oppose, because I believe in the beauty and virtue of mankind as it is, with all its vulnerabilities and fallacies and problems. And I believe that the future should be about using technology to support our humanity as it is with a loving attitude. And this is not what the transhumanists are doing.
Transhumanisten ser mennesker som informationsobjekter, der virker på samme måde som computere. Transhumanister mener også, at mennesket er mindre velfungerende end computere, at mennesket bør optimeres og at maskiner kan erstatte mennesker. De mener også, at vores bevidsthed kan uploades til computere, til internettet. Visse grupper af transhumanister mener, at der er en computer på vej, der vil være klogere end os alle sammen, og som vil styre os alle. Det er de såkaldte singularister, mens andre nøjes med at tro, at vi kan gøre mennesket bedre ved at indsætte computere i os. Fælles for alle transhumanister er, at de mener, at mennesker, som vi er nu, ikke er smukke og fantastiske, bare som vi er, siger Sara Spiekermann. Og det er hun meget imod. Vi bør anskue mennesket kærligt, og det er ikke det, man gør som transhumanist. Fra det antitranshumanistiske manifest.
Et spøgelse haver Europa og resten af planeten. Spøgelset hedder transhumanisme. Deres præster sidder på flere af vores universiteter, laboratorier, i store firmaer og i politiske institutioner. Transhumanisme er det negative billede af menneskets natur, koblet med en teknologisk videnskabelig vision om, hvordan mennesket kan gøres bedre. Præsterne kan genkendes ved deres blinde tro på, at videnskaben er vores frelser, og på deres reserverede foragt for den menneskelige natur, vores skrøbelighed, dødelighed, følsomhed, selvbevidsthed og vores indbyggede fornemmelse af, hvem vi er, i modsætning til hvad vi er.
The main players in transhumanism is, for example, Singularity Movement and Ray Kurzweil, who also believes that he can make humans, we can get sexier and smarter and stronger by enhancing our bodies with computers. How do you react when he says things like that? Personally, I feel kind of offended, that's the first thing. But the next thing I think is that he's obviously not talking everybody. He's talking some people.
Well, first of all, I think that his ideas are naive. I of course we shouldn't exclude that there are, for instance, pharmaceuticals that will somehow impact the psyche of human beings. And perhaps some human beings would even think that this is, this, for instance, antidepressants or drugs have a positive influence on their psyche. Well, but I believe that the growth of humans is a force that comes from within, from a human being's proper dispositions that we all have, and that we often underestimate our own beauty. And the second point you're alluding to is that, which is true, that such drugs and technologies, or for instance, let's say a hip replacement or robotic replacement in your body, costs a lot of money. And I don't think that, for sure, in Europe, the public medical systems would be, should, can, and live up to the idea that everyone now gets artificial replacement. So at the end stands a society in which the very, very rich will afford this kind of technology, and the rest will be left behind. That said, I think those that do engage in this kind of enhancement, I don't think that they will in the end be better off, even if they spend all their money on this stuff. I believe that those people who are true to themselves and work on themselves as they are in the end the kind that is the happier bunch.
Ray Kurzweil, stifteren af singularitetsbegrebet og tidligere ansat hos Google, er en af de mest fremtrædende transhumanister. Han lever på en diæt af vitaminpiller og forventer at kunne leve evigt gennem teknologi. Men det bliver ikke alle, der kan leve sådan, siger Sarah Spiegelman. Det bliver kun meget få, der har råd til at få teknologiske proteser og udvide sig selv med software. Men, siger Sarah Spiegelman, det bliver også andre, der vinder. Ved at arbejde med sig selv som menneske, så når man længere, end man gør med teknik. Fra det antitranshumanistiske manifest.
Transhumanister forveksler følsomhed med irrationalitet, hvilende potentiale med dumhed og handicap med undværlighed. Som et resultat af denne forveksling arbejder de for en fremtid, der blindt hylder det teknisk forbundne, genetisk optimerede, computerledende samfund, hvor de påståede dårligt konstruerede mennesker manipuleres og forbedres af en usynlig robotdrevet maskine, kaldet det næste trin af uundgåelig udvikling for menneskeheden. Transhumanisternes vision for fremtiden bliver stort set ikke anfægtet, fordi deres tankegang ses som en del af det videnskabelige verdenssyn, der er opstået af moderniteten. Derfor føler de sig berettiget til at diktere, hvad fremskridt er, og hvad der bør ses som rationelt. De udtaler sig skråsikkert om, hvordan fremtiden vil se ud, og er uimodtagelige for kritik, hvorved de selv viser symptomer på at tilhøre en ikke-rationel ideologi.
One of your points in the anti-transhumanist manifesto is also that they are actually they're having a very a big impact on current society. Where do you see it? Where do you see transhumanism kind of shining through the way we are living now?
Well, unfortunately, this idea of the singularity seems to be something like a fixation point. Through this vision of the singularity, the transhumanists have given many modern societies a kind of direction, an image of the future. And this is dangerous because at this point in time, there is no alternative vision for the future. I'm developing one, which is all around ethical and value-based engineering to give a different idea of what the future could look like. But the transhumanists are, of course, successfully running on the money of the IT industry that is obviously, for business reasons, interested in digitalizing and transforming societies through digitalization because they make a lot of money. So this, I'd say almost, from my personal opinion, evil direction is supported by very big money from the industry, directly or indirectly, and this is a great threat.
Yeah. So we have this kind of symbiosis between the transhumanist and the tech industry.
Without knowing exactly what industries and particular companies would be supporting this vision, I do think this is the case. And I'm wondering who is funding organizations like the Singularity University, who actually allows these institutions to call themselves universities. The public, at least in Europe, or I think in the United States as well, or in other parts of the world, associate with universities, establishments that carefully choose their perspectives and the people who work for them. And the very foundation, at least in Europe, of universities has been humanism. And humanism, from my perspective and interpretation, is believing in humans' proper capabilities and is not... I think that this kind of humanism that transhumanists claim for themselves is a false humanism that shouldn't be supported by anything that is allowed to call itself university.
Vi mangler en alternativ vision til den tekniske, siger Sarah Spiegelman. Men det er svært at få den på banen, fordi transhumanisterne er støttet af techfirmaerne, der tjener en masse penge på at sælge deres løsninger. Hvem man egentlig støtter det såkaldte Singularity University, der i øvrigt ikke er et universitet, spørger hun. De europæiske universiteter, de er baseret på humanisme, ikke på teknologi.
Formålet med dette manifest er at udstille transhumanismens irrationalitet og fare. Den er baseret på forskellige forfejlede slutninger, og dem vi kritiserer bygger deres tanker på følgende tre påstande. Virkeligheden er informationens totalitet. Mennesker er ikke andet end objekter, der processerer information. Kunstig intelligens er intelligens i menneskelig forstand. Ud fra disse tre påstande argumenterer transhumanister, at beslutninger skal baseres på informationer og på den kunstige intelligens, der bruger den, fordi det medfører bedre beslutninger. Og vi skal tage imod den fremtid, hvor mennesket kan forbedres, for eksempel med kunstig intelligens, der er klogere end os, med åbne arme.
One of the other points you have in what you've been writing here is that we are moving, is that all this, one of the big things currently is AI. Everybody's talking about artificial intelligence. In my home country, Denmark, we have a government saying that we should try to be leading within, I don't know how they're going to do that, but that's what they're saying. And other countries too are investing heavily into artificial intelligence. And one of the sentences that you actually have here is that artificial intelligence can never be a human intelligence, and it can never beat it. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes, I for sure artificial intelligence will never have the kind of intelligence that humans possess. Artificial intelligence has its own form of power, let's talk about artificial capabilities that we would perhaps consider intelligent because machines can process so much more data than any humans or human group can. And it is possible, it is able to identify patterns that we can't see. And it also can see details that we do not see. And in these two particular domains, machines have an advantage. But that is not comparable to, in any way, to human intelligence. Humans are holistically intelligent, and in our mind, in our consciousness, collapses a visible and invisible world of time and space and values. Yeah, values, for instance, values are not visible. Sympathy, for instance. Sympathy is there. Everyone recognizes it, but it is not visible. And we humans can perceive these values. And we, in this way of how our consciousness works and in which our intelligence forms, we are very different from machines. And this is why, in a nutshell, the idea that artificial intelligence will anything be like a human is impossible, basically. It's and people who claim it have sometimes a very peculiar definition of consciousness and intelligence as such.
If you go further down the line, then there's also people who say that, right, it's not going to be like humans, but it's going to have a new form of intelligence. And if you take the singularitans and their way of thinking again, they say that it will be a new kind of intelligence that will help humanity and solve all our problems. They also say, by the way, that it might also kill us. But they say it will solve all our problems and it will kind of take its own shape. And they even give it a timing, I think it's something like 2050, where the singularity will happen. And all these machines we have around us will kind of get together and form a massive intelligence that will overshine human. Would you recognize the point that maybe they would be able to create something that could actually help us and which will have an intelligence that we will have to recognize as something?
Yes, I absolutely think that machines can be a very powerful support for humanity in the sense that, as I just said, suddenly we have all this, for example, sociological and physiological data about ourselves, and machines are they're detecting patterns that we would have never come up with in our scientific models. Let me give you an example. A big data company I know from Paris has found that in consumer profiles, the most important item for predicting purchase behavior in their data set is the first name of a person. So a Sarah obviously has a different way of buying and thinking than a Sandra or a Susie. And this is surprising. And I think this kind of new detections of patterns of behavior and models can be extremely informative for our for the scientific world and for the understanding of ourselves. Or let me give you another example. You know that some AI algorithms have been criticized for sorting black people to be gorillas, or that bias is this kind of race bias is in data. Well, what the machines are actually doing is they are creating a mirror for our own thinking patterns. And this is very helpful for ourselves because we are able to see our own biases. And in this rigor, we are potentially able to improve ourselves. But not that the machine improves us, that we improve because the machine tells us a little bit about the truth about ourselves.
Fra det antitranshumanistiske manifest.
Om transhumanismens forkerte antagelser. Virkeligheden er ikke den samlede sum af information. Vi mener ikke, at tanken om information er dækkende for livet som sådan. Vi finder det naivt ukritisk at tro, det er sådan. Information kan hverken måles eller defineres som et hele, og at gå skridtet videre og mene, at information er hele virkeligheden, er forkert. Begrebet information kan være et nyttigt værktøj i videnskab og teknologi, men er ikke dækkende for alle aspekter af det menneskelige liv. Det at bearbejde, at processere information er glimrende, hvis man vil diskutere simple, funktionelle dele af menneskelig opfattelse, tænkning og handlinger, men forbigår andre elementer, som følelsesmæssig intelligens, praktiske dyder som visdom eller forudseenhed, ting, der er afgørende for etiske bedømmelser og eksperimenterende og fænomenologiske dimensioner af vores verdenssyn. For at opsummere, så er begrebet information brugt af transhumanister som et udtryk for kontrol gennem beregning. De reducerer verden til databaserede mønstre, der passer til mekanisk manipulation.
Go back to one of the main things the anti-transhumanist manifesto is that reality is not the totality of information. I very much like the not in that, because there's a lot of people who are saying that reality is just the totality of information. What does reality consist of in your opinion?
Reality is a holistic entity in which the visible and the invisible, the conscious and the unconscious, time and space collapse. And this holistic form of reality that is finally full of so-called qualia is something that information items, data points, are not suited to grasp. I think right now also in physics, a lot of the theories are going into the direction of believing reality to be an accumulation of waves rather than entities. And I'm not a physics expert, but I do believe that the current information processing driven idea of reality is too short-sighted. We cannot measure or reduce reality to data points. That is, from my perspective, impossible. And it would predict also our most recent scientific knowledge about ourselves.
One of the main points of writing this manifesto is that you think that transhumanists, they represent a danger to humanity. Could you elaborate a bit on that? What should we fear from this movement?
Well, I do believe that transhumanism is a danger because they are able to create an image of what humans and society should look like. And for a reason of little alternatives, our politics now goes into the direction that supports the transhumanists. For instance, I have seen that in some German children's school books, it's being written that humans will be cyborgs. Something like that. And I don't think so. Neither myself nor my children should be cyborgs. And I don't think that the future is hence determined. And this is what I feel as dangerous, that politicians or industry people or people who don't think too deeply about these matters, they are absorbing this transhumanist perspective on what the future should look like, and they're buying into this picture, and then they're creating and financially supporting and politically supporting this development. Right now, for instance, in Austria, probably in other European countries as well, everybody talks about a digital transformation. Now, I'm sorry, why do we need this? This money spent on a digital transformation of whatever, why don't we put that money in our schools? We should pay our teachers better. We have elderly people to care for. We have to improve our streets and our natural environment. And instead, all this money is put into a transhumanistic vision of a cyborg society. And now we have to all digitally transform. And this is just, I think this is not only nonsense, but it is dangerous. It's wrong.
Fra det antitranshumanistiske manifest.
Så længe information er set som det samme, som Locke kaldte en primær kvalitet og ikke andet, mens man overser dens valør, den indre værdi og de aspekter af vores verden, der gør den meningsfuld og værd at leve i, er informationsteorien fuldkommen livløs. Hvis begrebet information derfor ikke er dækkende, hvis man vil beskrive livet og menneskeheden, så er hele ideen om, at virkeligheden er informationens samlede sum, lige så forkert. Mennesker er ikke objekter af information, vi er væsener af mening. Vi ser mening som det vigtigste aspekt i menneskelivet, for det gør os i stand til at forstå virkeligheden, at tænke dybere over den og til at handle i den. Mening opstår, når hele vores krop, inklusiv hjernen, interagerer med verden, som den er, eller aktualiserer nye virkeligheder.
You have a very, also a very clear thought in the transhumanist manifesto, saying that humans are not information objects, but animals of meaning. This phrase, animals of meaning, could you tell me a bit more about that?
Yes. I'm a scholar in the phenomenological tradition, philosophically phenomenology, and here meaning is created through values, a value world that surrounds us at any moment in time. What I mean by this is, as the example I said earlier, sympathy, for instance, or love, or friendship, or belongingness, or all those invisible values that are giving our actions and our decisions a meaning when we perceive our environment and when we act upon it. And this specific form of existence that humans have, in the sense that they perceive those values and that we have actually given also names and terms to those values, that all of them are actually invisible and unmeasurable. This is what distinguishes us from animals and from other species. And I'm just wondering how the transhumanists will solve this riddle, that all of those values that we constantly live in, this value space, is not accessible to machines. But if it's not accessible to machines, what data points are they imagining going to measure this or store this? That's a riddle for me.
What the, these machines are trying currently by observing us in many ways, or they are actually trying to kind of systematize their knowledge about us, exactly about all these things you label, like sympathy and love, and it, they try to put it into systems where it can, it actually usually ends up as something we can be used to, they can manipulate us, or they can turn around us in some way. So if you take big companies like Facebook and Google, they're trying to play into people's how do they feel gratitude, we want more likes and we want to feel loved and stuff, and that's where they're kind of buying into this. So maybe they are actually, they will end up with at least a, some sort of system they believe they can understand it with.
Yeah, but I think that's a misbelief that is will be disillusioned, because even if let's say facial recognition systems are very powerful in understanding emotions, they are now already have already decoded all kinds of mimics and pupillar dilation information in our faces to say, okay, this person is currently happy or in love. Or attentive. Yeah, the machines can do that. However, what machines don't know is why. Because let's say even those machines that know all of that information and they have sufficient context information to say, okay, she's in the theater right now and she's looking at an actor and she's laughing and happy because the actor is funny. How does the machine know that it's not because I'm just sitting there and thinking of my date last night that makes me happy and not the clown that is there? The machines can't know, because as I said earlier, our being happy, this value materializing, is an effect of our thoughts that are collapsing in time and space. So I may be thinking of that date last night and this is why I smile. The machine can't know that.
There's actually been made some sort of prosthesis that you can put around your head, which is supposed to be able to read the voice in your head now.
That's impossible. It's that's a funny idea. I know that some people have been writing about uploading the mind and all of that, but they don't know anything about the mind. They don't know what they should be measuring there. Are they going to measure the drops of water? Are they going to try to discern light impulses in our brain? I don't know what they're looking for, but certainly I find this more esoteric than scientific. For sure, how consciousness works and therefore what we humans really are, this magic is unsolved.
Fra det antitranshumanistiske manifest.
Teknologi og medier spiller en central rolle i denne opståen af mening, men denne sammensmeltning bør ikke forveksles med transhumanisternes antagelse af, at mening er summen af informationer. Teknologi kan forme, men ikke erstatte vores sociale forhold til hinanden, for det er dem, der definerer, hvad der er meningsfuldt for os. Informationsobjekter som maskiner har forskellige grader af determinisme, fordi de hopper frem og tilbage mellem tilfældighed og nødvendighed. Men i vores søgen efter mening undgår mennesker rutinemæssigt determinismen. Vi er alle sammen som sorte svaner, hvis eksistens med et slag tilbageviser den nemme, ikke bevisbare påstand, at alle svaner er hvide.
One of the main points of the anti-transhumanist manifesto is that you said that this is going to be a blight on humanity and they are not going to, it's not going to happen. They are not going to win, and there's some reasons for that they will fail in the end. Why do you believe that?
I believe that because I'm a person who believes in the good. And whenever the good materializes, I don't know. Perhaps we will go through times, through decades of machine tyranny, where transhumanists and their digital transformations really determine the way we live as humanity. But I very much hope that we can get around this, and that right now people and smart journalists and smart politicians will recognize that this is a false path, for societies and that they will be living up and also waking up and oppose this kind of trend. And this is why we wrote this manifesto. We wanted to make clear that the vision of transhumanists is not what society should be shaping.
It's definitely not what we need right now.
It's definitely not what we need, because no matter how you view the future, how much you are even a transhumanist yourself, it's for sure clear that Earth right now has so many other problems than that. And also there is very little reflection on the fact that all of that digitalization requires natural resources. I'm not only talking about energy here. I'm talking about rare earths, for example, or all kinds of metals that these systems need. And if you look into the supply chain dynamics of digitalization, you will realize that it is living on rare resources that very, very soon will be running out. I read an article that said that 70% of today's IT resources in terms of rare earths comes from one mine in China. And this is just a little piece of the story. If you look at the energy consumption of blockchains or bitcoins, that's horrible. I heard the number that the Bitcoin currency in itself in a year has been consuming so much energy as the whole country of Denmark with its entire population. And I'm wondering, does this make sense? And what is the benefit? We have to make a very rational calculation on costs and benefits here. And the costs are not only in monetary, but in natural and resource perspectives, very high. And I don't see the benefits. Putting that same money into kindergartens, into education, into improving the renommee of our teachers and craftsmen and ordinary people, perhaps even financing something like an unlimited basic income or something like that. It makes so much more sense for me than to invest in this crazy digital transformation when nobody actually knows what is this other than that something is suddenly digital, which, you know, doesn't make it any better.
Kunstig intelligens kan aldrig blive intelligent som mennesker. Intelligens versus information er som et søm og en hammer. Hvis man kun har en hammer, så ser alt ud som et søm. Hvis man kun har information, så ser alt, der er i stand til at behandle information, intelligent ud. Vi mener, at begrebet intelligens er blevet misbrugt. Derfor er vi nødt til at redefinere det, og derfor udvide begrebet intelligens. Ordet intelligens kan bruges i videnskab og teknologi, men når vi taler om menneskelig tænkning, er det bedre at bruge begreber som følelsesmæssig intelligens om intellekt eller indføling. Vores indfølende tænkning og handling er vores unikke måde at være på som mennesker. Den har kapacitet til at erfare ved opmærksomhed og derved aktualisere og omskabe meningen med ting.
One of the arguments for going digital is always they say that, for example, in Denmark, we currently our government is working on what they call digital lawmaking and automatic decisions. One of the arguments for that is that they say that, first of all, they believe it will be more efficient and they can save money. I think that's the main argument, really. But the other argument is that this will be more fair. Because it's machines taking decisions about other people, and then we don't really have all this trouble with people having grudges over something, or not really a judge who has a hangover and doesn't take a real decision, because machines are always alert. How do you feel about the way of looking at for example, justice in that sense?
I see these developments with great concern. Judging can only be done on the basis of a holistic perception of the person and the case in front of you. And this is a deeply human affair. I don't believe that machines can judge. And there are also technical reasons why I don't believe that. First of all, as I explained earlier, the data, what can be measured from our reality, is limited. The data points are never holistic enough and complete enough to create a true reflection of what really happened. For sure, it will never be able to measure the motivations behind behavior. So let's say you have a criminal, and that for example, a man who killed his wife. That's clearly a criminal act, but perhaps there was a motivation. Perhaps there were decades of suffering and decades of almost war between this man and his wife. Perhaps even a war of unspoken words. How can this be grasped by a machine? But all of this kind of history, all of that suffering, all of those emotions, all of those aspects do play a role when judges pass their sentences and draw their conclusions. And machines, I don't know how ever they could be doing that. So the data input is limited. Often the data points come from sources that are available, rather than being the right ones. Then the algorithms themselves follow a very peculiar normal, as they have certain patterns of dynamics of how they learn and what they operate like in the end. But every decision may need a different algorithm, because every decision is a little bit different. So both the data input as well as the algorithms themselves make it questionable that machines are able to be judges. And then there is the third point. The third point is dignity. The dignity of, I believe that humans should not be sentenced by a machine, because this would fiercely oppose my own perception of dignity. Now, you'd probably want to ask me why. This is very difficult. There are some things that I cannot explain, because dignity is a value that is almost ingraspable except through my emotions. But I'm sure if you ask the public in Denmark, every single person on the street, and you ask them, do you want to be judged by a machine? I think many will share in this perception. And we should take perception very serious, because our intuitive intelligence is immense.
Den menneskelige form for tænkning er ikke værdineutral. Følende tænkning og handling er afgørende for hverdags beslutningstagen og fanger de stiltigende og essentielle dele af virkeligheden. Hvis vi ofrer dette for en kalkulerende, informationsbaseret tænkning, der påstår at være intelligens, vil vores evne til at tage etisk, moralske beslutninger lide skade. Vi ville skifte vores rodede, men meningsfyldte verden ud med en velordnet, men gennemført, steril udgave. For at opsummere, kunstig intelligens kan være intelligent inden for informationsbehandling, men AI har ikke hverken kapacitet eller de lag af eksistens, der betyder mest i livet, især indføling, evnen til at møde, forstå og forhandle mening, som mennesker gør.
But we have a situation currently in Denmark, they're solving this, they're making laws. Now they have this, it's called digitalization ready lawmaking. And what they're doing is that they want to take all current laws and see if you can make them so that computers can understand them. And there should be no new laws made that computers can't understand.
But that doesn't make any sense to me, because criminal acts or the law is supposed to deal with very strange borderline behavior of people or groups. And that strange borderline or criminal behavior of people and groups is so diverse. It's every single one is almost a black swan. I don't know whether you know this term, the black swan behavior, and this is almost logically opposed to the idea that you can make a machine that will then capture all the black swans. Machines are good at seeing and detecting white swans, even white swans that we don't detect with our own human intelligence. But justice becomes important when it's about judging the black swan that machines cannot perceive.
I think one of the main problems about when we use computers for almost everything is that when they make decisions, they only have one indicator to go by, which is average. They have to go, everything has to be judged outside of an average measurement of this current incident and whether it's inside the average.
Yeah.
That also gives us the problem that sometimes people in general maybe are not average. So they cannot be judged by these. There have to be possibilities also of failure and of people not being judged because there's a fault in the system, maybe. And I keep thinking of my own life, how much you get ahead because of that the system is not perfect and because you're not being judged by average.
No person is average. Every person is unique. And this is so beautiful. And I think what a true progress for our societies would be to accept ourselves in this uniqueness that we are. And this would make us much more tolerant than we are right now. But this is exactly why, and I agree with you, that averaging out and building machines for an average, that doesn't make any sense, especially not in the law-making context, because this is where really people don't follow the average and go into extremes. That said, perhaps what might be interesting is to, for instance, look at former cases, also the history of the law and the cases, and try to use machines to understand whether there are patterns of irregular behavior, patterns for criminal behavior. Trying to understand our human psyche or societal psyche in an historical context to understand more of what makes that people suddenly engage in criminal behavior. And so, yes, I do see a role of machines in increasing our knowledge about justice and about borderline behavior. But that understanding of dynamics is something else than replacing judges with machines.
Vores menneskelige natur er kendetegnet ved vores skrøbelighed, følsomhed, selvbevidsthed og vores indbyggede fornemmelse af, hvem vi er. Det er evner, der gør os i stand til at reagere på vores omgivelser, til at udvikle en fornemmelse for vores egen dødelighed og til at indse, at hvert eneste øjeblik har en unik fortid, der viser sig for os som en fremtid uden fortilfælde. Det er det, der gør vores eksistens helt anderledes end bots og andre former for ikke-følende identiteter, fordi mennesker føler for at være. Transhumanister benægter, at denne afgørende kvalitet i mennesker findes, og gør os dermed ikke mere følende end en robot.
You work with computers, and you're deep inside the thinking in many ways. You see them as tools in many ways, but not as means to an end.
Exactly, and I think almost all colleagues or engineers who I know see machines as tools for very specific purposes where they enhance and enlarge our human capabilities. And machine tools, every machine tool has its own set of capabilities. This is why, for instance, the Council on Extended Intelligence, which has now formed between MIT, Harvard, and IEEE is starting to say, let's not talk about artificial intelligence, let's talk about artificial capabilities. And in this group, you have people like Winston Cerf or Yoshi Ito, the head of MIT Media Lab. He wrote this manifesto on false reductionism, he calls that. You can find this online. The manifesto on false reductionism, where Yoshi Ito writes that all those ideas, this false reductionism about the idea of artificial intelligence being able to grasp the whole of humanity and making better decisions is just a false reductionism. Yeah.
Fra det antitranshumanistiske manifest.
Derfor er det vigtigt at gøre dette helt klart. Vi mennesker er dyr, der består af mening. Vi er fortryllede skabninger, der værdsætter vores eksistens, hvilket ikke er det samme som at være en hjerne i en krukke. I modsætning til maskiner, der kun simulerer bevidsthed, så er vi i stand til at skelne mellem det at være bevidste og indholdet af vores bevidsthed. I maskintermer ville dette være umuligt og absurd. Vores samtidige tænkning og handlen sikrer, at vores liv ikke er bestemt ved formelle procedurer af rationalitet. Mange af vores mest vigtige færdigheder afhænger og skabes af, at vi er sammen med andre. Gennem fællesskaber påvirker vi vores omgivelser, hvorved vi er medskabere af alt, der eksisterer. Sanserne skaber vores følelser som et basalt princip til selvkontrol og retning. Følelser er enten gode eller dårlige, enten lystfulde eller smertefulde. Følelser klargør os, om noget er godt eller dårligt, og lærer os, hvad der er godt og ondt. Der findes ikke godt eller ondt uden for sanserne.
One very last question, so I'm not taking all your time, but I have to ask you, how do you feel about the concept of the soul?
It's nice that you ask me how I feel about it, because the only way to grasp the soul is through our feeling it. And I'm very sad that many people these days don't take the time anymore to try to feel it. And the biggest threat I see to humanity is in the face of transhumanism. They are falling prey to these ideas in the head because they have forgotten to feel the soul within them.
Det var altså Sarah Spiegelman, professor ved Privacy og Sustainable Computing Lab ved Wiens Tekniske Universitet, som havde været med til at skrive det antitranshumanistiske manifest. Det havde jeg forsøgt at oversætte efter bedste evne, og det var Christian Vejlø, der læste det op. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærhulf, og jeg er tilbage i næste uge med mere nyt fra det overvågningssamfund, som vi alle sammen bor i. Vi er alle sammen uendeligt bløde. Vi flyder over med kærlighed og skønhed, og vi holder om hinanden, kysser tættere på, mens vi stadig drømmer om sandheden i en sjæl og et legeme. Det bliver ikke lige nu, men måske om lidt.
Du lytter til Radio 24/7.